Normally, I have a very short title to my messages, but today it's pretty long. And just as a reminder, if you remember, last week we finished the book of Matthew, which we had spent 2 years and 11 months going through. Well, I will start a new book of the Bible, but I won't do that until the first Sunday of January. So in between now and January, I'll just have a variety of different types of sermons to share with you. And today, the title of the sermon is Before in the Beginning, A Pastor's Imagination of God's Creation. So let's get started. According to the Bible, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, but he did create within us the ability to imagine. Imagination is what gave Michelangelo the Sistine Chapel ceiling painting and the famous statue of David. Imagination gave Leonardo da Vinci a vision of the Last Supper. Imagination gave Bart Millard the lyrics to the song about what heaven might be like called I Can Only Imagine. And it's possible, I'm just guessing, that even imagination is what Colonel Sanders used to come up with the recipe of the 11 herbs and spices for fried chicken. Just what is imagination? Well, according to the Merriam-Webster dictionary, it's the act of forming a mental image of something not present to the senses or never before wholly perceived in reality. One morning while on vacation in Panama City Beach, I woke up at 5 a.m. and it was October 22nd, 2024. So it's been just less than a year ago. When this happened, though, I wrote everything down. I couldn't go back to sleep. It was pitch black outside, and so I laid my head back on the pillow and told God it was a good time to talk. In fact, I said, "You can talk, and I'll just listen." Within minutes, my mind began to wonder what it must have been like when the Holy Trinity initially discussed creation. Well, the following that you're about to hear is the genesis, no pun intended, of the mental image of how I can only imagine that first meeting of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit before in the beginning. So again, this is my imagination. This is my act of forming a mental image of something not present to the senses or never before wholly perceived in reality. This is my imagination of a tiny portion of the Trinity discussing creation before the first words of Genesis were ever written down. And let me remind you what those words in Genesis are. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then let me remind you of who God is. He is one God in three persons: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it was my God-given imagination that came up with these crazy thoughts that I'm about to share with you. I'm sharing them with you because we can all use our Spirit-filled imagination as we think about God. And specifically this morning, how we think about the Father, the Son, and the Spirit's conversation prior to that phrase, "And God said, let there be light." So here it goes. Hold on to your horses, as they say. So one day, wait just a minute, time had not yet been created. So let me try this again. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were hanging out talking about stuff. The Father pipes up and says, "I have an idea. It's just been the three of us for what seems like an eternity. What if we made beings that we could communicate with and who could communicate with us? I know it'd be a lot of work, and I know there'd be a bunch of stuff we would have to create even before making that first being. But based on my calculations, I think we could get it done in about 6 days. Now, Throughout this message, you'll hear me sharing dialogue, imagining dialogue between the Trinity, as well as interjecting my own thoughts. This may be one of the most, or the most, unusual message about the Bible and about God that you've ever heard. With that, my response is either thank you or I'm sorry. So, have you ever wondered how God decided to make everything we know, including you and me? When God called me to be a pastor, I was in my mid-50s. It was never my plan, but it was definitely in God's plan. For about a year, I kept having dreams that I was standing behind the pulpit at the Kennard Friends Church. I knew it very well. It's where my high school girlfriend attended, Jan. And it's where we attended when our son was born for about 20 years after our marriage. You see, God not only imagined me being a pastor, he called me to be a pastor. And he not only called me to be a pastor, but he equipped me. And he not only equipped me once, he keeps equipping me every day. And what I want to say to begin with is that applies to you too. God imagined you, every one of you, and he's calling you to something. He's calling all of us to be his disciple. And whatever that means, he will equip you. And then he will keep equipping you to accomplish his plan for the kingdom and for you. Well, speaking of plan, let's get back to his plan to create us even in the beginning. So back to my imagined meeting of the Godhead. I thought, where did they start? What was the plan? What if the original plan didn't work? Was there a plan B? And what's the end goal for creating these beings to communicate with in the first place? I'm thinking Jesus may have been the first one to speak up and comment. Maybe it was him who suggested the creation of an army of spiritual beings even before creating the human beings. We could call them angels, he said. We could practice communicating with and dealing with them first, kind of work out the bugs, you know. I'm thinking they would be creatures with wings, maybe some with multiple sets. I see a lot of brilliant white outfits. Jesus said, too bad OxyClean won't be around for thousands of years. I'm even envisioning one particular angel to be the most beautiful and with a built-in jewelry box of precious stones. I envision all these guys to have some really cool features, like being able to travel faster than the speed of light, having super strength, being able to sing on key, possibly in a choir setting. A few would be instrumentalists, most likely trumpet players. Sorry, no piano or organ just yet. And we would need these people, these creatures, to be multilingual, having the ability to speak in languages of the human beings that we will create. And finally, we would be able to make them to temporarily transform into humans at times. And we're going to need a bunch of these creatures. I'm thinking we're going to need a kajillion, Jesus said. Oh, and finally, we will make them to last forever. So after Jesus shared his thoughts, off they go to make the first of their created beings, the angels. Things go well, at least for a while. The angels are totally obedient to whatever God instructs them to do. They spend most of their time worshiping him. There I go again, talking about time. It hadn't been created yet. I guess the angels served like door dashers for the triune God, fetching anything, anytime, from anywhere. But ultimately, worshiping and serving God would be their main job before, in the beginning, and into the future as well. This vast, almost innumerable army of angels worked out well. They did a wonderful job of serving and worshiping. There was incredible music 24/7. Their voices were, I guess you could say, angelic. Choirs of 10,000 angels singing praises to God. An orchestra of trumpets providing eternal background music. Everything was going smoothly until it was not. One of the highest ranking angels started a coup and rebelled against God. Being able to take one third of the angels, the angel called Lucifer tried to overthrow the throne of the Most High. But it didn't work. God kicked him and his minions out into darkness. Well, the idea of making humans was starting to take shape. The first thing needed was to create the perfect environment for these beings. Let's think about working backwards, the Holy Spirit said. We will make man to start with, calling him male. He will be made of our collective image, a little bit of the Father, a little bit of the Son, and a little bit of the Holy Spirit. Like us, this man will be triune in his own way. He will have a physical being. He will have a soul, that is his mind, will, and emotion. And he will have a spirit. Body, soul, spirit. Three parts in one being. Now, can you imagine? If you can't, I have. So hold on. Can you imagine the discussion about the environment for the first man? Well, instead of us continuing to refer to the being or human or man, let's come up with a name, the Father said. He says, what about the name Cletus? Holy Spirit chimed in and said, I like the name Mortimer. And then Jesus, after weighing both suggestions carefully, said, how does the name Adam sound to you guys? And there it was. The first man will be called Adam. Adam worked out well. God even called him good. Adam was able to enjoy all the fruits of the Trinity's labor of creating animals and plants and even literal fruit. But quickly, it seems something was missing for the man. While Adam enjoyed his daily routine of picking various plants to make floral arrangements, and he had fun naming and playing with the animals God had created, and even laying on the beach getting a full body tan, if you know what I mean, was so relaxing, but eventually he got bored. He got lonely. So the good people at Trinity Incorporated got busy fixing the problem. Can you imagine the discussion they had about creating this helpmate for Adam? Maybe it was the Father who was forming piles of dust that he had laying around in his workshop into a variety of shapes and sizes. Maybe the Holy Spirit took pen to paper and sketched out a few drawings. Maybe Jesus couldn't come up with anything. And the other two started making fun of him, started ribbing him. That's it. Jesus said, ribs. That's what we'll do. We'll make the helpmate out of ribs. In fact, we'll call her Eve because we'll do the work in the evening. And the rest is history, or her story, however you want to look at it. And I'll conclude with this. And everyone lived happily ever after. Please don't go to the piano yet. Because it didn't end happily ever after just yet. That was the original plan anyway. But unfortunately, that fallen angel called Satan had other plans. You see, after God kicked him out of heaven, he was given the earth as his domain. And while Adam and Eve enjoyed their daily walks with God in paradise, Satan had plans of his own. Since he knew that he and his minions' future was doomed, he thought he might as well take those two, humans with him. And so he slithered around the plants and the trees daily too. That is, until one evening, everything just went to heck. Gosh, I can only imagine that this development threw the Trinity for a loop. But it didn't. You see, unlike Satan, God already knew what would happen. And he had a plan for that too. Jesus actually told the Father about his idea to eventually leave heaven, take the form of a human, and live on earth for a while. Collectively, the Trinity's plan involved the Father sacrificing his only Son as a way to punish and pay for the sins of everyone. Jesus would actually die and be buried. They knew that Satan would believe that he had achieved his goal at that point. But not so fast. Not so fast. Unbeknownst to Satan, God's plan included a resurrection. Jesus would actually come back to life 3 days after being in the grave. And after a few weeks of walking around in his resurrected body, Jesus would tell his followers to wait for the helper. Wait for the helper to come. Now, this helper would not be a physical person like him, like Jesus. That could only be in one place at a time. However, this would be a person, this helper. The person of the Trinity called the Holy Spirit. He had the ability to be with everyone, all the time, everywhere. Take that, Satan. Well, of course, there's a lot left to the imagination of how all this and more was thought out before in the beginning. We could spend time imagining what it was like for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to discuss creation as we currently see it. But did you know that their discussion continues even now? As part of God's plan, there is a whole new heaven and a whole new earth being prepared. It's on the drawing board now. And as beautiful as our world is today, the future world will be more amazing than we can even imagine, than we could ever imagine. In fact, the Bible says it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Listen to this. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Apparently, not even my wildest imagination can come up with a picture of that. So I'll stop now. Just know, and Doris, you can head on up. I'll finish up here. Just know that there is coming a creation that has colors we've never seen. There will be sounds we've never heard, smells and tastes we've never experienced, textures we've never felt. In fact, it's possible, again, this is just my imagination, it's possible that we'll have more than the five senses that we use today to enjoy our world when we're in heaven, on the new earth. But, and it's a big but, these things will only be available to those who love God. That's what that verse from Corinthians said. Only to those who love God. Those who have believed, and here's how you know if you love God, those who have believed in Jesus and who have accepted him as their Savior. Here's a question. Can you imagine giving your life to the Lord today? Can you imagine having your sins, past, present, and future, forgiven? One more. Can you imagine growing to be more like Christ every day? Well, you don't have to use your imagination to have all that and more. Here's what you would do. You would genuinely say this to God, something like this. You would say, Father, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus died to pay my sin debt, and I want to give my life to you. I want the Holy Spirit to come and live in me. Amen. Doris, what song do you have to close with?